Thank you, Jenny. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Galatians, this is actually our last sermon on Galatians. We'll be finishing up our series today, and next Sunday we'll be actually having a testimonial time after our we celebrate the Lord's Supper next Sunday, and so I want to encourage you to be thinking of something that you can share with the church family to encourage us the next Sunday as we'll be having that time. I trust that as we've gone through the book of Galatians that it helps to clarify to you that real, true biblical Christianity is a relationship and it is not a religion. Yes, Christianity is classified as a religion through people who study religions, but it is very different because it is a relationship that's based upon grace. It's based upon faith. It's not based upon what you can accomplish or do in order to gain something. Everything that God wants to give to us is already there. It is available to us once we come to a saving faith relationship. And I trust that if you're here this morning and you're visiting, as we did put out invitations for people to come and to enjoy our picnic today, especially families that had sent their children to our Kingdom Kids Camp, I just want to encourage you that as we have gone through the book of Galatians, again, it helps us to realize truly what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is all based upon God's work that he has done in us, and it's not based upon our external actions that we try to accomplish. And Paul has been looking at Galatians and reminding these people that he had ministered several years to. They had come to faith in Christ. He left to continue church planting elsewhere and telling the other people about Jesus Christ and what he had done for them. And then false teachers came in and convinced these believers that faith in Christ alone was not sufficient for them to be accepted by God, that they needed to be circumcised, which was part of the law of Moses at that time, and that all of the law of Moses really needed to be obeyed and not just circumcision. And so these false teachers come in and say, you know what Jesus did on the cross, when he died for your sins, and then he rose again from the grave, those were all good things, but it's just not enough. And that's a false message. Because Paul is clarifying very much all throughout the book of Galatians that yes, Jesus Christ, he is enough. And that we can be justified by what he did for us on the cross, by us putting our faith in him, that we are able to be accepted and loved and to be able to be part of God's family simply by believing in what Jesus Christ did for us. That is so totally contrary to all other religions in the rest of the world. All other religions will tell you, you have to do something in order to be able to be part of God's family, whoever that God is, or maybe you can do enough and maybe you might be able to be in paradise or whatever their terminology is in a paradise. You always have to do something. And yet true biblical Christianity says, no, you can't do anything except simply believe in what Jesus Christ has already done for you. What he did on the cross is sufficient. Now, as we live out that life, there's going to be evidences of that life. Because if there is truly life that God has put within us, there will be those evidences. And so today I just want to take a few moments before we actually get into the text to give us a few reminders from the letter of Galatians, because our whole theme is being set free in order to live free. And we get set free by putting our faith in Jesus Christ for what he did for us on the cross, that he died for our sins and that we can receive the forgiveness for our sins and even the shame that we experience in our life. We can have that healing within our lives if we just simply believe. And then from there, we're able to live free, not because in the sense that we're able to do whatever we want, but rather at that moment when we believe in Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit is put within us. And that power enables us to be able to be and to do what God created us to be and to do. And that's where true freedom comes from. True freedom doesn't come from just doing your own agenda. Because in reality, if you look at people who wanted to fulfill their own agenda, the end result is usually self-destruction. Because we're not very good at controlling ourselves. And so if we want true freedom, it becomes from looking at God's design for us and living that out through the power of the Holy Spirit. So just want to give a few reminders as we look at the end of Galatians here. You know, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that is where we start with grace. It says, for by grace through faith are we saved and not by the works of the flesh. So as we have started with grace, we need to stay with grace. Because it's so easy for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we all of a sudden begin to think, well, it's all up to me now. And we as human beings, that is our default setting. Doesn't matter where you grew up, what parents you had, that is our default setting, that we have to earn what we're going to get. And that's not the way true biblical Christianity is. We are able to be able to experience the very presence of God as we stay in grace. Now, we looked last week at the principle of sowing and reaping. And that is simply, again, a principle where if we want to experience God's grace in our lives, we need to make ourselves available to that grace. And so as you sow into that availability, you're going to be able to reap more of the Holy Spirit's direction, more of His power, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. But you got to make yourself available. And so if you want to call that effort, that's the effort, is just to make ourselves available, because God is the one that does the transformational work on the inside. And so as we start with grace, we need to stay with grace. Paul in chapter 3, verse 3 in Galatians, he says to the Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? I mean, to think that you started out with grace and to think that now if you follow all the rules and regulations in the law of Moses, you think you're going to actually perfect yourself that way? It's ridiculous. Adam and Eve couldn't even obey one rule in the Garden of Eden. How are you expected to obey over 600 rules in the law of Moses? It's foolishness. And yet, we have that default setting within us as human beings. Second thing, then, we see that the law is good. Any rule, any regulation that is in our lives is usually for a good thing. Now, there are bad laws and regulations that go against the character of God. Yes, there are those. But we don't want to get to the point of thinking, well, if we live by grace, then we really don't need any rules and regulations. Yes, we do need rules and regulations because they are good. The problem is that we try to use rules and regulations for what they're not designed for, and that is to produce life. They don't produce life. All they do is just reveal to you what's on the inside of you. That's all they do. And that's what the law of Moses did. It shows us that we're sinners, that we're not able to keep the law. And so how are you going to resolve that problem? Is it just to try harder? No, it's to realize that Jesus Christ is the solution. And so the law is good. Doesn't matter whether it's a civic law, a societal law, what have you. Law is good, but it's not life-giving. It's not going to give you life. And so whether it's here in the church or an academic institution, laws are there to help keep order, to help us to be able to function within society. And again, as one of the illustrations was, can you imagine trying to go home today and all rules and regulations of the highway would be suspended and taken away? You can drive any way you want. Can you imagine what chaos that would be? I wouldn't even want to get on the road. And so the law is good, but the law is not going to make you a good driver. You will only be a good driver when you decide in your own mind to concentrate in your mind on the things that are going around you. Because within 2 to 3 seconds, things can change like that in front of you. And only when you have decided to be alert and to commit yourself to being a good driver are you going to be able to avert a disaster. No law is going to be able to do that. And so law is good, but it's not life-giving. We continue to see that freedom is found in truth and love. Absolute truth and love are inseparable. True love and truth go hand in hand. They're not two separate commodities out there floating around. No, they come together. And when it comes to us living in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, it is not an opportunity for us, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, to just go ahead and live any way that you want to. It's not to live for your own fleshly desires. No, but rather it is for us to be able to serve and to love one another. And so, very contrary to what our society is telling us today, but that is what we find in the book of Galatians. Also, we see that the degree of connection that we have to the Holy Spirit will determine our fruit. We look at this in chapter 6. As we walk by the Spirit, live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of our own flesh and those cravings that we have. It is a relationship. It is not just a command. It is a relationship. And so just as in any marital relationship, even though that you're married, you're still always working on that relationship. And as you continue to work in that relationship, you'll be able to enjoy more and more of that marriage. And so it is a relationship. It's not just a command of just do it. It's a relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And our degree of connection with Him is going to determine really the fruit that we're able to express in our lives. And the fruit was found, again, in verse chapter 5 of love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so all of that fruit is there available to us. And lastly, anyone can be deceived. And as we've gone through the book of Galatians, it is so easy for us at any point in our lives to go back to what the false teachers were trying to communicate to the Galatians. You can do it. If you just have the right methodology, the right thinking, and the right gumption, you can do it. And Paul says, no, you can't. Outside of Christ, outside of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. Because Paul was there. Paul used to be one of those false teachers, one of those Judaizers. He used to be there trying to obey every aspect of the law. In fact, he was persecuting the early church. He thought they were a bunch of wackos, that they were a threat to what he stood for. And now he has become a follower of Jesus Christ, and he is now saying, you know what, anyone can be deceived in this default thinking of, you know what, if you just try hard enough, you'll be good enough. And even Peter and Barnabas in chapter 2 were carried away from those who had come from Jerusalem, and they'd been carried away by their own thinking, saying, you know what, we're not going to eat with the Gentiles, we're just going to stay with the Jewish people. And how they were being deceived and carried away. So it's so easy for any of us to be deceived in this area, to thinking that if we just try hard enough, we're going to be able to just accomplish anything in our lives. Isn't that what the world says? If you just believe enough, you can do it. And yet, the Holy Spirit says, no, without me, you're not going to be able to do it. Oh, you may be able to accomplish a few things. But to actually experience and live the transformation of God from the inside out, it only comes through the Holy Spirit. So now with that, let's go to our actual text that we have. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. Here we have Paul's seal of authenticity. This is Paul saying, this is proof that I am writing this letter. He says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. And we see that this is Paul's way of, again, just saying, listen, this letter has come from me. It has not come from someone else. This isn't a fake. It isn't a forgery. I am showing that by my writing from this verse on, that he is stating this is proof that I, Paul, have dictated this letter to my scribe. He has written it. This comes from me. We see that Paul did this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and also in Colossians. Many times Paul would just go ahead and at the end of a letter write something with his own hand in the scroll to show that it was a valid, authentic, true letter from him. And so the issues that he's dealing with are so important that he is confirming, and yes, this letter did come from him. Now, the large letters that Paul refers to in verse 11 can either refer to Paul's eyesight, or it could refer to the immaturity of the Galatian believers. It could be that he is just writing this in big letters because he's saying, look, you guys have been so deceived. In fact, in chapter 3, he says, who bewitched you? Who put a spell? Who put a curse on you? like this, that you would go from the very essence of the gospel to be able to believe in Jesus Christ and what he would do and accomplish in you, to thinking that you're just going to go ahead and do this on your own through the obedience of the law of Moses. And so he puts this in large letters, possibly to help to see their own immaturity. And so, and there are times when we can be so misunderstood in our letters, in our writing. I remember one time I was texting Jane about something. It was something very serious, and I put LOL on the end of it. And my interpretation of LOL is lots of love. She didn't take it that way. And showing my stupidity in the textology here, or whatever you want to call it, it means something quite different. And so I sort of had to square that out and explain why I did what I did. But even Paul is just trying to confirm here, look, what I said to you is true. And I'm writing these big letters to you in big letters so that you will understand that this is truly from me. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't stay here and just try to prove his authenticity of the letter. He continues to go on, going back to the source of the problem, and that is these false teachers that have showed up. Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. It says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who were circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." So here the Apostle Paul goes back from authenticating that the letter is truly from him to focusing again on the issue that's at hand. These false teachers that are there that are trying to get the Galatians to go follow them, to actually maybe not deny the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to deny the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you can believe the facts of what God did through Jesus on the cross, but not be willing to accept what that truly means to you as an individual and the spiritual truth that is there. Because you see, even the demons understand what Jesus did on the cross, but that doesn't mean they're saved. And so there is a difference between intellectual understanding and to have an actual saving faith. And these false teachers would heartily accept, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross, but they did not accept that what he did on the cross was sufficient and the only solution necessary for you and I to be able to be accepted and loved by God, and to be able to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. They would say, you need the law. You need to be able to obey. You need to be told what to do by rules and regulations. And as we saw earlier, rules and regulations only go so far, because at some point, those rules and regulations are going to need to be interpreted, and you get interpretations on top of interpretations on top of interpretations, and on it goes. And you begin to realize the fallacy of those laws in producing life, because they don't. And so Paul is going back to these people, and again, hitting up and showing what these people truly are like. And these words that the Apostle Paul has here are not very kind words. And in fact, I'm going to try to put it in popular vocabulary here. First one is that they put on quite a facade. He says that they put on a good showing. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. And so they're putting on a good flow, a good show, but before you, they have flattering words. They have all kinds of logic that sometimes they use in the Old Testament to help you to think that keeping the law is necessary. They have all these kinds of things, but it's just simply a facade. Because if you continue down through the verses, Paul says, they can't do it. They can't do it. So it's just a facade. I remember the time that Josiah decided that he wanted to buy a used car. We were still in Houston, and he found this car online, and it was in a part of Houston that I thought, it's going to be really questionable what we find down there, but we thought, well, let's just go ahead and take the trip, and we went down there. Found the car, found the used car lot, found the salesman that had it, and the salesman promised everything to us from the moon and back if we would just buy this car. And as he was talking, I was eyeing the repair shop. Lots of body work going on in that body shop. And then we decided to pop the hood, and boom, there was all kinds of evidence of body work to have communicate to us that this vehicle had been an accident, even though the salesman said, oh, this has never been an accident, this is not a salvage title. And yet, once we saw the vehicle itself, we realized, no, we don't want to go there. So the salesman was trying to put on a pretty good facade, but when we looked at the proof in the pudding, it wasn't there. So as we continue on, Paul says that these are not only, they put on a facade, but these guys are bullies. He says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you, some versions have compel you, to be circumcised. Okay, there's no gentleness in here. I mean, they may put on a facade of gentleness, but you have to do this. It's either this or nothing. And so the bulliness comes out, and these false teachers would force you to do this. Now, there's nothing wrong with people who want to be circumcised, even at that time. But it was a problem to say that you needed to be circumcised in order to be right with God. And that is the problem. Because we have the example of Timothy, who was circumcised in order that he would have a ministry with the Jewish people. In order for him to do that, he needed to be able to have that done. Okay? But to have circumcision in order to have a right relationship with God is wrong. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here, and that's what these guys are seeking to get these Galatian believers to do. Not only are they bullies, but they're cowards too. He goes on, he says, they would force you to be circumcised and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, what is the Apostle Paul saying here? Well, they're afraid that the truth of the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ would become offensive in the Roman culture, in the message. And so if you focus more on the circumcision rather than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that this message of Jesus would be much more palatable to the Roman society. According to Roman law, a Roman citizen could not be crucified. Crucifixion was always for slaves, extreme criminals, political or religious agitators, pirates, or those who had no civil rights. Okay, so you get the idea of crucifixion in the Roman time was meant for those who maybe there was just no other way to handle them, but other than crucifixion. And in fact, it was interesting, in the word crucifixion and the word that would have been used in the Roman times to just talk about crucifixion was never ever used in common society. They always referred to it as that one that was hung on the unlucky tree, even though the Romans were experts at it. They were experts at it. But the crucifixion itself was only to be used for those that were less than desirable. And so the Judaizers are wanting to focus more on circumcision and the obedience to the law of Moses rather than to the power of the gospel, which comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and rose again the third day. And so we're going to continue to see that in another verse a little bit later. Not only are these guys cowards, but they're also hypocrites. Okay, Paul continues on. He says, not only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, verse 13 says, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. Well, it's kind of brassy for Paul to say that. Paul could say that because he had been there. Been there, done that, don't want to go back there. He is just simply saying, nobody can keep the law. And to hold that up as a way of a standard, to think that you're going to be accepted by God by obeying the law, is ridiculous. Because nobody can keep it. And that was the purpose of the law, to not only give infrastructure for the Jewish people to their society as they came out of Egypt, out of as slaves, but also to help them to show, you know what? You're sinners. You can't keep it. But there's a solution for you. Then we see the sacrificial system that took place in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ comes to give the ultimate sacrifice. So we see these guys are hypocrites, requiring others to do things that they themselves cannot do. Then we go on to the last one. The Apostle Paul says they're manipulators. He says in the very end that they may boast in your flesh. So they're trying to get you to do something that they can't do, but they want to be able to go around and say, I got another notch in my spiritual belt because look at these guys. These guys are, yeah, they're doing okay, but they're trying to follow the law too. And again, that's the manipulation aspect. And so the Apostle Paul has these five traits of performance-based religion that, quite frankly, folks, this is a heavy burden. And if you're caught into this type of thinking, even if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, your walk with Jesus Christ is going to be a burden. It's not going to be any fun. Why? Because you're constantly trying to make yourself do things that you can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the sooner we come to the realization, I can't do it, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I need to make myself available to you, to your grace, to your Holy Spirit, so that I can be the person that you want to be. That's when you're going to be able to enjoy a relationship with Jesus Christ that will knock your socks off. But only until we come to that point will we be able to see that and be able to enjoy that. And making yourself available to the very grace that God has given to us. Let's continue on. And I know that you're hungry because you want to get to the picnic here. Verses 14 and 15. But, the little three-letter word, but far be it from me to boast, except in what? In the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Wow. Do you remember what I just said about crucifixion and the cross and how the Romans viewed it? It's interesting that the Apostle Paul says, you know what? The folks of the circumcision, those false teachers, those Judaizers that are with you right now, they glory in circumcision and obedience to the law. He says, but I boast and I desire the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does he mean by that phrase? Well, he means, he's not talking about the literal cross that Jesus Christ was hung on, but rather the work that was done on the cross, that which Jesus Christ accomplished through his death on the cross. And as I mentioned earlier, in Roman society, the cross was really seen with such disdain. And yet the Apostle Paul, his message is saying, no, the cross is the way to life. It's the way to freedom. That God himself, who saw that man decided to rebel against him, he alone provided the solution so that you and I could have a relationship with him, which is basically the intent of all world religions today, is to try to find some way to relate to a higher being, even if that higher being is within yourself, supposedly. And Paul is saying, no, I will boast in the cross for what Jesus Christ has done. Because God, Jesus Christ, has provided the solution. And it's all for me to do is just to believe, to accept. That's all I need to do. And that's the invitation for each and every one of us around the world, is simply to come to Jesus and to be willing to believe. And so as Paul focuses on the cross, he's focusing on the justification by faith and not by works of flesh, in order to be able to gain acceptance by God. It is all through faith and the grace that God has shown himself to us. We continue on in the verse, and he talks about being crucified to the world. Again, that was contrary to Roman thinking and even to today's thinking. Life comes from death. And what does Paul mean by being crucified to the world? Well, let me give you some sayings and thinking that our world, present world, has today. Our present world says, believe in yourself and you can accomplish great things. If you dream it, you can do it. Just follow your heart. You can be whatever you want to be. God wants me happy, so that whatever I view I need to be happy must be from God, and He must provide it. Those are all lines of thinking from the world. And yet Jesus says, if you want to find true joy and peace, you find it in me, in a relationship with me. You don't get it from the circumstances and the stuff that's around you. It doesn't even come from within you. It comes from me. That's why John said in chapter 15, says, when Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without abiding in me, you can be nothing. And as we allow ourselves to get to that point of saying, you know what, everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that God has given to me has come from Him. And even who I am on the inside, in my soul and in my heart, needs to reflect that He loves me and that He gave Himself for me. And to be able to that love, that grace, to transform me from the inside out. So that my identity doesn't have to come from my abilities, or the people liking me, or how many likes I get on Facebook, or any other status that the world may throw at us. And there's a gazillion ways of doing that. But you have to ask yourself, who am I on the inside? And who do I say that I am? Now, the world may say something, but who do you say that you are? And as a believer in Jesus Christ, as we become crucified to the world, we are able to enjoy all that Jesus Christ has given to us. All the abundant joy, the love, the forgiveness, the removal of shame. And the list goes on and on. The list that I just read a few moments ago about the fruit of the Spirit, that's all available for each and every one of us. But do you believe it? Well, that's only really for those super Christians, you know, that just kind of have their head stuck in the Bible all the time and church all day long and listen to the Christian radio all day long. No, that's for each and every one of us who has just simply come and said, Lord Jesus, I believe in what you did for me. And I want my life to be a channel for your life, for your spirit to flow through me. Just simple. That's all it is. And that's what Paul is talking about, being crucified to the world. And then he goes on to say, to be a new creation. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Wow. And that's what we get when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul has, all throughout Galatians, has been talking about this. He talked about in chapter 4. We talked about being formed in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 16, again, the justification of the new life that he now lives. He doesn't live it by his own flesh, but he rather lives it in Christ. The justification that we have in Christ. All of that's available to us. But the question is, for us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, are we going to choose to walk in the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to be in step with the Spirit, or are we going to go back to the default setting that is within all of us in some way, shape, or form? Because the default setting is comfortable. It is very comfortable because that's the way we've lived. Even if we've been a believer in Jesus Christ for years, it is so easy to go back to that thinking, look at what I did. Look at what I did. Oh, we wouldn't say that outright, but that's what we say in our hearts. Amen. And so you need to decide, am I going to ask Jesus to help me to get out of my default setting so that I can then be directed and controlled and lived by His Holy Spirit that resides within me. It's not that you need more of the Holy Spirit. He's already there. You just need to be simply being willing to say, I want to reject the default setting. I want to reject the world thinking that I have within myself. And I want to choose to live and allow Jesus to live in me and through me and to be transformed by His grace.
Amen.
That's a decision that each and every one of us makes every day and every moment of every day. It's not coming down front here and making a confession to me or any type of experience. And yes, God does give us experiences, and praise the Lord for those experiences. But it's a daily decision. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And each and every one of us make that decision every day. And so as we continue on with Paul's final remarks here, he says, and for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. What is he talking about, this rule? Just what I was just talking about. Instead of wanting to follow the default setting of being able to prove myself worthy of God's love, it's rather saying, Lord Jesus, I know that you love me. I'm unworthy to be loved, but you love me. And I want to accept that love wholeheartedly, and I want to be able to walk in your Spirit so that you can transform me from the inside out. Because, Lord, in honesty, you've got a lot of work to do on me. And I put both hands up on that for me, for myself. God has still a lot of work to do on the inside of me. It's going to take a long time, and I've been saved for a long time. He's still continuing that work because he loves me and he loves you. And Paul is saying here that peace and that mercy is available as we walk by this rule. Are we going to be perfect in following it? Nope. And Paul knows that as well. It's not going to be perfect. But the desire is there, and the decision is there to want to be having that blessing of walking with Jesus, the peace and the mercy that we need. And he continues on. He says, not only that, but he talks about the marks that he bears on his body, the marks of serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's body had many marks of service because of the beatings that he had received, shipwrecked, miles of walking on Roman roads, diseases that he suffered. In fact, one of the reasons why he had the ministry to the Galatian believers was because he was sick. And some commentators think he went to that area because he was so sick, he needed to restore his health. And so through going to that area, which was better health-wise, he was able to restore his health and get better. But whatever the case may be, as we walk with Jesus, there will be those marks, maybe not necessarily on our physical body, but on the very depths of our hearts and soul, that Jesus has done a work in our hearts. And I want to encourage you, as we're going to be singing here a little bit in just a few moments, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done in your life. Now, next Sunday, we're going to have the testimony time. It's a great time to be able to share some of those things that maybe the Lord has done this in the past few months. But I want to encourage you to be looking at your life and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for changing me in this way or in that way. Those are the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ on our own heart. And not only that, but Paul finishes with a desire that they would be able to have more grace to be with them. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. What Paul had been saying all throughout Galatians is you can't live the Christian life without God's grace and without God's Spirit living within you. It is not a matter of obedience to the law. It's a matter of God living in through you so that you can live out what the life that he has put within you. That is the Christian life. And it's so unfortunate, so many people, even here in St. Johnsbury and the surrounding communities, don't understand that. I think it's a matter of going to church or a matter of reading your Bible enough or giving or taking a certain stance on a particular issue. And they've got it all confused because the evil one wants them to not understand. And for you and I, we need to be living lives that reflect the grace of God. Yes, we will need to communicate the truth and the love of Jesus Christ, but let us always do it in a spirit of grace and of gentleness and of love. Because those people are trapped. They're ensnared by the evil one. And the only way they're going to be able to really understand is through the God's Spirit showing them, and for us to live an example that will say to them, wow, I don't agree with what that person says, but that person's got something that I want. And so as we have opportunities to be able to talk to people, September 14th, we're going to be at the Colors of the Kingdom Festival. We've had the Kingdom Kids Camp. We have opportunities to interact with people maybe who don't know anything about Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you don't know anything about Jesus, and all of this doesn't make any sense to you, I understand. Because really, this was meant for believers, but we want to for you to be able to experience and understand that Jesus loves you. And he did the impossible thing for you, and that was to pay your debt for your sins. And he did it on the cross. And all you need to be willing to do is say, Lord Jesus, I can't believe that you did that, but I want to believe. And I want to accept what you have for me. And I want to give my life totally over to you. Because as I've mentioned before in other sermons, Jesus Christ is the only person in all of human history who predicted his own death and resurrection, completed it 100% to the finest detail. And believe me, that's the type of person I want to follow. You have to make the decision who you're going to follow, because there's lots of voices out there in the world. But I want to follow somebody who's conquered death, who can give me life, and can help me deal with the problems that I have today. Because he's been there, he's done that, and he's done it with total perfection. That is somebody worth following. The question is, will you? Let us pray. Praise team can come on up. Father, we just thank you for the study of Galatians. It is one that is full of many, many truths. Things that we need to decide what we're going to do in our own lives. And even for those of us who have become followers of you, we have to make that daily decision. Am I going to live my life according to my default settings, or am I going to live in the very power of the Holy Spirit and allow him to transform me to be the person that he wants me to be? Father, we know that the evil one doesn't want us to make that decision. So Lord, help us to be willing to say yes to you, even though it may be difficult, may be challenging. But Lord, help us to say yes to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let us stand together and worship our Lord.